You've done it. You found the Debt Street podcast, where our guests from across the financial landscape discuss their exciting careers, their hard-won insights, and how they are helping clients turn debt into assets. And now, here's Carol, to bring you today's episode with our special guest, Ira Zlotowicz, from G Parency.
Our guest today is someone who has built a highly successful business that is all about helping people with commercial mortgages. I'm extremely excited to introduce you to Ira Zlotowicz from G Parency. Ira, welcome to Debt Street.
Thank you so much for having me, Carol.
So we're super excited to hear about G Parency, but before we dive in, I'd like to dig a little bit into your past. What was life like before you started G Parency? What were you doing and all that stuff?
Are you talking business-wise?
Business-wise or personal life, whatever you want to offer up.
Okay, we'll start with business and I'll go for the questions after, if there's any follow-through. So pretty much my whole career, I started out in 1997. I've done the same thing. I would like to define it as a trusted advisor. I help advise commercial real estate owners on how to place their debt. The title in the world is called a mortgage broker, a commercial mortgage broker, a conventional mortgage broker. And what I noticed from the time I came into the business until I opened up G Parency is that with the advancements of technology and social media and internet and smartphones and everyone knowing everything, there was less and less of a value that a mortgage broker was bringing to the table. Because in the beginning, a mortgage broker had access you couldn't have. Then everyone had access, but you didn't know the lender. Now everyone knows which lender. And lenders are willing to talk to anyone directly. You could reach them on social media, go onto LinkedIn, you reach everybody. So I started seeing more and more that it was very tough for one broker to provide a value add to convince another, a client to switch from broker A to broker B. You had brokers working in the firm who said, hey, the firm doesn't, how much value do I need by working for a firm? I do the same thing in my basement. So they demanded higher commissions to stay. Clients said, I don't really need you. More and more clients were going direct and they were negotiating down the fees. And I'm watching all these technology things come. Like now we see AI, and it was just like this futuristic thing called AI. And I said, if that's going to happen, it's one day I'll be knocked out. One day when Netflix, I said, I never want to be Netflix out of my own business. And I knew one day if there's going to be a Netflix type technology coming in the commercial real estate space, finance space, it was going to be me. And several years ago, going back probably 4 or 5 years, I started really taking the technology and data much more serious. And started to position the company to be in a situation that if the world stayed old school, I'm fine. If the world went digital, broker, I'm ahead of the curve there. And then, you know, finally took the plunge and opened up G Parency to really, you know, to position ourselves for the present as well as the future. So when every time I hear today, oh my gosh, ChatGPT, AI, I think, oh, thank God I made this move. I'm right for that marketplace. As an old school broker, I was thinking, oh my gosh, every move, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be replaced. What's going to be? Now I'm positioned to get the best of all the world.
So you definitely answered my next question, you know, the decision, why you made the decision that you were going to start G Parency. Can you tell us a little bit about what G Parency does and how it is different from kind of the traditional mortgage brokers?
So there is no different in our execution as a conventional mortgage broker. The difference is the pricing, behind the scenes technology we use, that part of the business, and the control we give to an owner, the transparency in G Parency. Right now, if somebody owns a piece of commercial real estate and they want to get a mortgage, they only have two choices. Do it in-house direct with a lender, which has its perceived risks. Maybe you might not get the best rate. There might be a new lender you don't know about, especially in today's environment. Or engage a mortgage broker. You don't pay the mortgage broker anything up front, but when you close, what do you pay? You pay 1% of the loan amount, so a $100 million deal is $1 million fee. $10 million deal is $100,000 fee. It can be easy work, tougher work, doesn't make a difference. You pay based on the loan amount, and that's it. It's take it or leave it. There's no other option. Direct or broker, and with a broker, big fee at closing, or have a nice day. So, and I realize a lot of times that that's really an issue. There's a lot of situations where the client doesn't need the full service of a broker. The client might need different needs for different deals. This deal is just a refi, you need answering questions. This deal is a new deal. This deal has different needs. So we opened up G Parency. G Parency is a membership-based commercial mortgage broker. Simple. So think Costco. Can't walk in without a membership? Think G Parency. And that's my goal of the membership. My money is made on the membership. Someone pays $5,000 a year, a company pays, that's the cost. And for that $5,000 a year, they have several different brokerage options available to them. Number one, they get one free equity raise a year. We'll raise equity for them once a year. Number two, we will be a full-fledged mortgage broker. Either pay $11,000 up front and pay just basically the cost to do that mortgage, or pay a quarter point at closing. So if someone says, oh, you're not going to be as motivated. I'm not paying up front. No problem. I'll be like the old school way, but only a quarter point, not a point. The next tier down, which I think is the most important one, that's the one I recommend, is where it's a hybrid. For $4,000, we will be, the banking team will underwrite and shop your deal out to all the lenders, and we'll negotiate the term sheet with you. You could leverage my relationships till you time the term sheet, and then finish the paperwork yourself. That's, I think, is the best value. Have a human help you, my banking team help you, which is the biggest pain point. How do I know there's a new lender? And the third one, which comes unlimited, part of membership, is we'll give you access to every single lender that ever made a loan in the United States. And we recommend them for your property with who to talk to at that bank. So if you want to go yourself, don't just go blind. So there, right now there's approximately 43,000 unique lenders that hold at least two mortgages in the United States. Of those, we track 3,000 of what they actually do. So I could give you a list of every lender that lent on that property type in your state, or I could tell you of the 3,000, which ones are the most apropos and who to reach. So now someone says, oh, this deal, I only need the names of the banker to go to. Okay, here's a list of the banks. This one, I just need a little help, like guide me in the beginning. But I could get finished, oh, that's 4,000. This deal, I want the full enchilada. I want you to run the deal from A to Z to close, like a regular broker, no problem. But in all these cases, we have crazy technology and data behind the scenes. So our brokers, they work the same. You're not uploading a deal to a computer screen. You're emailing, you're talking to a broker the same way. But imagine the tools behind the scenes. If you're a member, GParency, we have you back. In addition to all these perks, we built an amazing, amazing, amazing marketplace. Think of it as a commercial real estate toolkit. And that toolkit we built is, we basically took Google Maps. Like, this is the biggest pain point we found from owners. Owners have a pain point. They get a deal sent to them. The average owner gets 10 deals sent to them a day. That's 3,000 a year. You know, think about it, go 3-4 years, you have over 10,000 deals you looked at. I guess, you know, you get a deal and you say, oh, I saw this deal a couple of years ago. So who sent it to me? Where are my email? Where is that email? You don't remember. I know I saw a building in the neighborhood. No recall. We customized Google Maps. Regular Google Maps. Imagine going to Google Maps. Click on any commercial property, see the property information, see sales comps, finance comps, and I'll put notes on it. Oh, I looked at this deal. I'm interested in buying it. I own this property. I rejected this property. And then you could come back at any time to an area and see the area light up just on the deals you own and the deals you did research and put notes on and you saw data. We have 50,000 listings. Not for the purpose of the listings, but to tell you who the people are behind those listings. So when you're in an area, you could see the 10 aggressive sales brokers that you know you could call who's active in that marketplace. And you want to know the rates? I'll tell you the rates. You want to know, you want, now going from the bottom up, technology up. You want to know the rates. You want to know which banks to go to. You don't want to shop the banks? I'll shop for you. That's where that process goes the other way. If you're starting from technology, merge from technology to human. And the other big feature we have is we built an underwriting calculator, an acquisition calculator. You could underwrite a deal literally in under 3 minutes from the time when you get an OM and all the way down to the waterfall split. So cash and cash, IRR, you'll be able to send it out to people. These last few bells and whistles that I mentioned now are middle being, you know, rolled out as we speak. So depending on when this podcast goes live, but within a couple weeks of when it goes, even if it's live this minute, it'll all be out there, everything described. So someone for $5,000 gets the human brokerage experience, amazing brokers, and with access to the data, and then unfettered access to help them on their acquisition side and their acquisition team throughout the whole course of the year. For a measly, $5,000 a year. It's about equitable access. You want to be in commercial real estate? You pay $5,000, you get the same information as the person who owns millions of square feet as yourself buying your first asset.
So it sounds to me like being able to drive traffic to the site, have people populate data, actually generate useful data for someone else, like for others. No, okay.
Aaron, great point. When you put in data about your own deal, there's no ability on that data to the own deal for you to look at other people's data. If you put in that I'm looking at a property, no one can see that information.
I see.
It's proprietary to you. What is shared, though, good you brought it up, is similar to Waze, crowdsourcing. If you're looking at a property card and the building's not for sale, you know it is for sale, and you want to tell us about it, you tell us about it, we'll extend your free trial period. In exchange, we'll give you credits, and you can use it towards your membership also by giving us information. Not your own information, your due diligence. Information, you see something wrong on the site, data's wrong, tell us, we'll give you credits towards to fix it. So we're getting our information from buying public data, speaking to people all the time, and people inbound want to get the information. But the starting point is, what are you looking to replace on the technology side? I'm looking to replace Google Maps for a commercial real estate owner. You don't need Google Maps anymore. And give you a pipeline management report for acquisitions. If you think of those two, everything else is icing on the cake. It's like, talk about LoopNet or CoStar or Crexy. Those are amazing sites. Once you decide you're buying 123 Main Street, you got checked out the area, you put notes down, looks good, did your calculations, the rates, the bank, now go on to CoStar, do a deep dive, go to Crexy, Octovia, all these other websites, and really do your due diligence. I want to be your first model. I want to replace Google Maps. Okay. That's what I want to be. So some people call it Zillow for commercial. It's not Zillow for commercial. It's its own entity. It's your parents. So but you can just start. People ask, who's the target customer? Target customer is someone who right now needs a mortgage or equity right now, or they're actively in the acquisition mode. Because either you'll start with the technology and move up from there, or you'll start with the brokerage and you move down from there.
Interesting. That's actually a lot of information that you just provided. It seems like the site actually does multiple things. You have the mortgage model, and then you also have like this data that allow people to get on it and kind of keep their note on the Google site, their own Google site, to kind of keep track of what they have done and all that stuff.
The genius of my co-founder, he ran product at Freddie Mac. My CTO was a Marine Corps and KeyBank on the hood works, is that it's intuitive for the way the GP and owner thinks. The intuitiveness is right there. You don't feel like, so just like going to Google Maps is very powerful, but you don't notice all the power when you go on. Same thing here. Type in an address, you'll see a building. There's dots around of all the buildings in the area. They're commercial. It pops it up. You see a property guard. You can put notes. You can search back later on, things along those lines. But if I could just say two cool, what I think is the cool features also is that you'll be able to select up to three lenders, people buy notes. Right? All the rage is Signature Bank notes are going to come for sale soon. Where are they? You'll be able to go onto the site, select Signature Bank, and the United States will light up all the buildings that are Signature Bank only. And you can compare the portfolio. What I found cool is that someone working at Chase Bank doesn't even know his bank closed. You'll be able to go on and say Chase, and the whole country lights up with Chase loans. Overlay your properties. So you can now put on it the properties I own. So we're helping investors, and I speak to a lot of investors who invest in real estate, LPs. They don't have any system to keep track of their investments. Now they can. Go on here, star which properties are theirs, put notes in there, so they'll be able to calculate it for themselves. And again, they can see what's going on in the neighborhood, the buildings they invested in. So I want to take away that's the transparency of transparency, every aspect of it. Real estate's not this opaque thing you can't invest in. You want to see what's going on? Let me check it out. And you can stop breaking it.
So are you sourcing data from like outside third-party source if your client are able to just basically click and say, okay, JP Morgan, all their buildings are here? So that has to be coming from a different data source and have...
Just to give you the education side of that, is that think about title insurance. So the root is that every single deal gets recorded. So title companies have the recording. So someone is in there updating every single day, and then they sell those data streams. They're putting it together, linking it, the mapping to map up to Google Maps, and that's where the complicated part is, and sometimes getting it multiple data sources, so it has to look clean by the time it's delivered to you and be able to bring it to that price point. I want to just, you know, everyone's talking, all the rage is ChatGPT. So we just put up now, which is, I'm blown away, it's a dream I always had. I have to go to so many real estate news sites every day, and it's overwhelming. We're putting up on your parents' website news by ChatGPT. It automatically goes to the website. It's all this is legal. Same like Apple News. It goes to the website. It puts into ChatGPT. It summarizes it for a paragraph. And now you'll be able to come to the site and see a ticker of all the commercial real estate news. And you can filter it. You have the headline, ChatGPT summary, and a link back to the
article. Very nice.
Like this is the first use case that in commercial real estate you actually use it to your benefit and see how it works.
That is so cool. You guys are so forward thinking. You know, how do you guys actually get yourself kind of going and say, I want to be the forefront of this, you know,
So this, you know, that's always the tough part of being the visionary. Sometimes you, it's timing. Sometimes you're way ahead of your game, and what are you doing? And I found that's, you know, you, now you bring up this direction. That was the issue I had. It was so clear to me that the world was going to change. But when? So the individual broker says, Ira, it's a good plan. Wait until. Then it's too late. That's what happens to Blockbuster, goes out of business. I didn't want to wait. So I took a major risk educating the world and leaving. People who used me for years paid big fees. I'm telling them, listen, you have an option. This is a new approach. In effect, I'm fractional ownership. If you give me 5,000, you own one part of me and my whole team. And then if you want me to actually do physical work for you, call the bank, pay for that. So that was the forward thinking was a tougher part to deal with. But now let's say that, now I fail at home. I hear about ChatGPT. My plan is to make a deal, give it all my data. And then you could say, ChatGPT, where are the cap rates the lowest? What buildings, how many buildings are for sale in this area? How many deals closed in the last 2 weeks here? The 9 buildings I looked at 3 months ago, what was the average price? Who was the broker on those deals? And I'll answer you with my data. So these are things I could think about. I'm thinking to myself like, wow, thank God I did this, because if I didn't do this and I was a conventional broker in this market, oh my gosh, I'd be going crazy if clients have all this information. ChatGPT right now gives you a list of banks if you want. People don't realize they can write term sheets for you. They could write offering letters for you. People never, you never tried to use it. My team, everyone in my company uses it to whatever they were doing to do it a lot better.
Wow, this is amazing. So what does the role of God place in your life? And the reason why I asked that question is because I actually was prompted to ask the question, so I figure I should ask.
You're prompted to ask?
Just now, it just came to my head. It wasn't even on my script.
See? So that's it. That's the answer, right? God, right? It's serendipity. God popped it in, made it ask. It's everything. Starts and ends and everything in the middle. And so I believe in our life, our job is to do the inputs. Do what we think is the best business plan and make sure you're doing the right thing. And if it's going to be successful, that's up to God. So I have a product here that I think, like Jeff Bezos thinks with Amazon, if you own a home in America and you're not an Amazon member, it's irresponsible. If you own commercial real estate and you're not a member of your parents, it's irresponsible. I want to build enough features and value that for $5,000, how are you not a member? Sounds great. The business plan sounds great. I'm doing everything I should, but then God could say, sorry, Ira. Thought it's for you. It's not going to happen. Well, God could say, next month, all 1 million people that own real estate are going to buy you, are going to sign up to your service. So I can only do it to my control. I'm praying and giving charity. Hopefully, move the wheels of justice to get it to rain down.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's all God.
So when you are, you know, building Jiparency, was there a point, you know, you tell yourself, this is really going to work? Was there something critical? Did you have a critical mass that signed up for the platform and you're like, yeah, okay, this is going to work. We're not going to fail.
So again, I never say not going to fail. I call it the Titanic syndrome. Once you say it can't fail, it's over. Then you fail. But again, as a believer in God, it's more and more, it's becoming clearer and clearer that according to the natural course of business, there's no reason why everyone's not going to use us. The question is by when. And even set up that even if there's competition tomorrow in the business, think about Hulu and Netflix. You have both. At $5,000 for a commercial real estate owner, they could have both. On the other hand, you think about Uber and Lyft. You might have both apps on your phone, but when you go into a car now, you're only going to one car, either to an Uber or to a Lyft. So I'm fortunate that in theory, why I can have the whole market, and also my competitors have it. Look, this CoStar, people say you're competing with CoStar. I said no. But one thing is sure, whoever could afford CoStar could afford me for $5,000. And so there's a product where I could provide that type of value in going there. So the turning point to me, specifically to answer that question, is that you know, so you have this feeling and then you start getting clients and you get the feedback. But when we had repeat clients who started the first deal at $11,000 because they was too many changes for them. Let me just pay different. Then the next deal they came back at $4,000. And the third deal said, I don't need you. I realize it's so easy. I'm just going to call the bank myself and they'll want to deal with me. I know. That's proven. They're telling their friends. I used to think they were a cheap broker. Now I think $11,000 is expensive to do paperwork. You know, so we know we made it. The goal is that value. But we got the biggest compliment now from we have a client that's a legitimate billionaire, calls us up and says, listen, I'm going to roll the dice. Sign up membership. And membership, by the way, we also have an option, month-by-month membership.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this person calls up. So you know something? I'm going to help go ahead. I have a deal in Ohio, industrial. They say the market's crazy. I have a bank. I know for 10 years. You know how wealthy I am. I have his financials. I says, I'm willing to roll the dice. He has 4K. And he writes me a letter 2 weeks later. He says, Ira, when it closes, you can publish it as my name. But until then, you can just tell the story that my name. I gave your team the deal. Really thinking, for $4,000, there's no way I'm going to get anything. You guys worked this deal as if it was a $200,000 commission. You narrowed down to the top 12 lenders. Some of them I never heard of before. You delivered a term sheet to me from a reputable bank that I never did business with a few percentage points more in proceeds, more flexible on the prepay. I took your term sheet. Unlike if you came from another broker, I can't use your term sheet. Since I paid, I could use it. Right? I don't care. I work for him. He took my term sheet. He went back to his bank of 10 years. He said, I appreciate everything. But what should I do? I have this offer, so thank you. They said, no, we'll match it. He said, it was the greatest $4,000 I've ever spent.
Very nice. I love it.
Yeah. And then we just had the big story now is we have a client that has a very large deal. His broker typically charges him, a very big client, typically charges him a half a point on the deal. He calls me, he gives us a deal to refinance. It's an $11,000 fee. It's the first deal I want. For the deal this size, $11,000 not cold money. Start the process. He gets a phone call from that broker. The broker calls him up and says, what do we want to work on the refinance? I already gave it to your parents. You look crazy. You don't understand a deal like this in this market. You think they can work so hard. Come to the site inspection. Let me come meet you. And you're hurting yourself. Like, sort of instill a fear factor. Calls me up and says, listen, I made the $11,000. They want me to guide you. They want an exclusive. I said, call the person back up and says, no, I'll give you an exclusive. He goes, but they're threatening me. Trust me. I said, your father's dead. This guy I'm talking to, his father's not alive. I said, tell him your father's dead. He never let me sign an exclusive, which he never did. And I can't even go back to him. So if you need an exclusive, forget about anything else. I can't talk to you. So sure enough, the broker said, okay, fine, I'll go to an exclusive. I said, I'll give you 5 banks. At the end of the day, he says now, they told him, instead of charging normal half a point, because you already have some offers, we'll only charge you a quarter point. This, the difference of a half to a quarter is a couple hundred thousand. He says, you know something, I already made almost $200,000 already. Because they know I'm competing. Now they're going to work harder on the five to try to produce better than you. It's the greatest deal I did. I realized that owners need options. Who has their back that can tell what's going on in the marketplace? So if you're a member, I'll give you information, whatever information you want. And that's the start. Lenders pay also. Lenders could be a member. Lenders, if they're a member, I'll give them better access to see my pipeline. Maybe I made a mistake. I didn't send a deal to you, Carol. But really, if you had access to my pipeline, you're a lender. I'll let you, you'll search my database of deals, reverse search. Oh, all right, why didn't send me deal number 1, 2, 3? We had some deals like that. So it's becoming a full-fledged marketplace. Listing brokers can pay. But my main target is I'm never selling out to the GP. So if a bank pays me money, they don't come to the top of the list. So if the number one bank of America says, I'm not paying you any money, and they're the best offer, they're the top of the list. The worst bank can pay me $100,000. Doesn't make a difference. They're not going to the top of the list. The list is built based on, like, think about like Consumer Reports. You know, I'm giving you the honest opinion. I can be wrong sometimes, but not because someone paid me to be wrong. And at 5,000, you're not moving the needle to motivate me to go left to right too much. You know,
it's a true marketplace. You're not really, you know, steering client one way or the other. It's like they have to compete for the business. Same with the client.
But I'm a human on top. You see, what's really happening is a lot of these companies are over the technology and they're missing it. You have to have a human in the process. Does he have to be called, or she have to be called, a broker versus an underwriter versus an analyst? You can change the title. A human who knows their stuff, has a head on their shoulders, could be a little bit aggressive, maneuver through the marketplace. That is something that you need. And now, how much do I pay for that person? Because, you know, people just send me $11,000. Talk about the pricing. $11,000.
Yes.
Wow, so cheap. How do you do it? It's not possible. So I told the person two fronts. They're not going to work as hard. I said, I'm going to answer your question, by the way. Why do you use a broker? And the number one answer is because they know which bank to go to. They create the competition. I said, so once you have that, what about working hard has to do with anything? Smart. Number one. Number two, I said, what would happen if you're about to call up your broker and I introduce you to a lender on an airplane? You're sitting on an airplane next to a lender. And you say, I own 123 Main Street. I'm taking a mortgage. And the lender says, really? I did the building next door. I love that area. I'll give you the best rate in terms. Are you going to still call your broker? No way. Okay, I know this guy. But what do you mean? They're going to work so hard for you. So when rubber meets the road, they realize what they need a broker for. So most firms, this is how the business actually works. You go to a firm and you pay the broker $100,000 fee. What happens to that $100,000? $89,000 goes to the broker and the house. The people that do the work, the team that does all the work, doesn't get any mention, they earn the $11,000 equivalent. How much do they make? Three person team. The top person make $300,000-$400,000. The next person make $100,000-$200,000. An analyst a little less. They close 100 deals a year. So my business model is 100 times 11,000. Pretty much break even. Make some money on it. But it's mostly a break even play. I want my money on memberships. I have no reason to upsell you. But that's how the math works. And my staff is much happier. They get to be the forefront. They don't have some broker taking all the good news and there's a mistake. Like, do me a favor, underwriter, can you take the fool? Make believe like you messed up so I don't have to look foolish because else I can't do the next deal. No, they're at the front. They can be transparent. They don't have to BS the owner. Oh, I'll get you this rate and that rate. They can be honest because that's what you're paying for. Full transparency.
Yep. And that's how you call your company G-parency.
GP and transparency.
There we go. I was wondering that before the call. That's right. I mean, there's no reason for anyone to not try your service if it's $5,000 to start. I mean,
you're preaching to the choir, but then it goes back to your God question. God's going to decide when everyone will. Don't forget, you're going against the wave of you have the brokers chirping. Are you crazy? You think they're going to work so hard? Blah, blah, blah. So that's it. But it's a God. God will decide the answer as to when.
So I'm just like turning on my thing to do not disturb because there's something popping up on my screen. Let me go back to my question list. So how's business been? Like, when did you start, you know, building this? And
so we opened up the doors 18 months ago. Actually, what's the
date? Oh, wow.
We opened up. Yeah, on the 15th, it'll be exactly 18 months since we opened mm-hmm. the front door. December 1st is really when we got going, but opened November 15th. So we opened up the business plan for the first year. I was never into venture capital and that whole world, so it was a new phenomenon to me. We were the largest seed round of any prop tech company. And
nice.
Those days were, I would just keep building and building and building, a kid about the technology. And as the year went on, and the market started changing, the world changed and said, no, we don't care about the product. Profitability, move towards break even. So the first year, there was no plan to have revenue, but we had proof of concept. We had about a little over $2 million of revenue year one, the first full calendar year. And we kept perfecting the product and rolling out the digital product and the, you know, coming up the monthly fee, or your annual fee. All this is recent. The turning point for us was we figured out in January, what is the leading indicator? We were getting people to come to the website first, give us a mortgage first, hybrid. We figured out this is the month thing you need. Get someone that's working on a deal right now, and ask them to give you a free look, and then you'll convert a certain percent of them to actually work the deal. And starting in January was the turning point for us. Everything became laser focused around that. And if someone didn't have a deal, now go check out our website. But we didn't lead with the website, with the marketplace. We led with human brokerage, membership-based brokerage. So we brought in 30 new deals to be worked on, and a percent of those convert in January, 60 in February, 100 in March, 104 in March. April's Passover, so we lost about half the month, and we prorated to bring it over 50 in half the month. And now this month, the goal is 120. We're way ahead of schedule. And we're bringing every day so far, without making an evil eye from God, every day we burn a minimum of 5 new deals to work on. So every day this month. So business right now is beyond booming because, again, we see it as, obviously some God, but we see it as that finally the world is slower. And people's like, hey, what's really going on? What's this G-parency? They have access to 43,000 lenders. There has to be some needle in the haystack. And people say, it's only 4,000. And they can still go back to the broker. You could take my term sheet, go back to your broker. So like, why not? Let's try it. What's going on? And that was the big game changer for us in this turning point. So we have an amazing sales team. And people are using, you know, on our marketplace, to me is a big surprise. We have, you know, a couple hundred searches a week on the find the lender feature. That's ticking up big time. And the average person who actually goes to the site is on for about 15 minutes. So there's like, these are big numbers. Like, I was blown away. I didn't realize that. I was so focused. Now I put my head up and I've seen where things are at. And, you know, we finished developing our product. Now the product is on mobile. It's on the site. Everyone can log in, a 21-day free trial just by logging in. And because of that, people are using it, they're seeing it. And now our focus is, okay, we finished. All the brain trust is, okay, how do we convert? How do we provide more value? The foundation was built.
So it sounds to me like, you know, you're still very young, you know, the company's very young, and I'm sure, you know, when other brokers notice what you're doing, they probably feel very, very, very threatened.
You wouldn't know it by talking to them. What makes a great broker a broker is their amazing poker face and confidence and belief that they can't be replaced by anybody else. and that even if they charge you $1 million, that there's no one better and you're crazy if you don't use them. So far that's what's been happening, which worked out very well. I was a little, nervous about that. I will tell you an interesting, interesting antidote, because you brought in God. So obviously as an Orthodox Jew, we're going to a rabbi before, and to ask him questions. And when I first opened, I was thinking about changing the pricing. Someone told me, go speak to the rabbi. Make sure that you're not hurting someone else's livelihood. You can't just do something to hurt someone's livelihood. That was just counterproductive to the business concept in the world, but that's not, but you can't do something, on the money. So I said, okay, listen, I was brought up that way. My father was a rabbi. And I actually went to two different rabbis, the same answer. It was fascinating, their perspective. They asked me, are there more owners that would benefit or more brokers that may lose? Why is the focus that brokers are losing versus owners are gaining? And on that perspective, gee, parents, for the owner's best interest, that's where that's at. I also feel and I see that if you look at the market slowed today, not because of me. The market's low. People are thinking differently. Also, I knew the numbers under the hood. 80% of owners do not use brokers. And that number was creeping up and up and up. And those that did use brokers kept negotiating the fee. So I'm watching that take place. Like, somebody listening, what's the future of the brokerage industry? My two cents is similar to Uber. Technology didn't replace the Uber drivers. They replaced the car service company. 5 years ago, you ordered a car. And the next company, today, you call Uber or Lyft. I think that most brokerage shops are going to shrink down to boutique shops. Unless you're a broker earning 65% blend or more, you're not staying at a shop. I might go in your basement. So the shops, if they're paying out that much, they can't offer the same services. And you can see a bunch of clusters just go off on their own, because if they use a Gparency technology, they use a Crexy or LoopNet or CoStar and Actovia and any other company that's out there, then they could do a lot of the same knowledge that typically you couldn't have access to. LinkedIn. I think we all work for LinkedIn. You know what I mean? We pay them a monthly fee instead of a percent. The world is changing. You go to the real deal, you see news stories. You go to my ChatGPT news review and you'll get the news. So because of that, I think that's what's going to change anyway. So a lot of the brokers know it's coming. Like when I made a final decision to make this turn, a group of brokers left me. And the top broker in that group, I said, it's changing. He goes, you're right, it is changing. But I can still milk the market for a few more years. So he has a shorter-term vision. He's a salesperson. I don't blame him. But I don't want to be out of business in a few years. I want to thrive. I'm doing the same thing for 25 years. I want to keep doing this for the rest of my career.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I think, it's a matter of if you don't do it, someone else is going to do it, because that's where things are going. So you might just do it now. Why wait till someone else do it and capture the market share, right? Yeah. Exactly. And going forward, what are the big goals for the business? Short-term, long-term?
At this point, the goal is very simple. Just keep getting that market share, providing the value. Keep providing the value. That's it. I mean, the foundation is built. As, I might get requests from certain clients to build added features. I'm going to look at like Netflix does. Oh, I have a lot of requests to build this feature. It cost me $21,000. I'll get 10 new clients. Oh, that's $50,000. It's worth it. Go build it. And then everyone has access to it. So at this point, the foundation is built. And from a pipeline acquisition, pipeline management, all the way to closing your financing and equity, and then communicating with your LPs and GPs could communicate with each other if they want everything in between. All overlaid on a map. So where real estate is map-centric, we built this map-centric, just keep selling them. So we're at that point where the foundation is behind us, and how can we scale to get to the million owners?
Fun question. If you would recommend a book, what book would that be and why?
So... I wasn't prepared for the question, but top of my head, the book would be, I found a book called Think Like Amazon. Actually, it was a major game changer for me. If I would have had that book when I started my career, wow, it would have been an amazing difference. And it breaks down almost every single business concept we deal with in a couple of pages. And it's like from proven strategy. And it says like, wow, that's how to do things. And it's amazing. What I found like a big thing to do is like, one of the things popping into my head now from the book is that write the press release first. You talk about a new product, write the press release, how that's going to look. You write it out today, and then you circle around the team. Does everyone on the team realize, do you agree that this is how it's going to look? No, I didn't realize that. and this way less mistakes. And also, that's how it sounds, scrap it, not a good idea. So many things were saved and changed because of that.
I love it. I'm going to have to read this book. Now you got me all curious about what's in it. So if our listeners want help with commercial mortgages or have questions for you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
So gparency.com is the best way. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. But I think that if somebody wants to reach out, either email iraz@gparency.com, or I give them my cell number. I view every message. Today I don't answer every call necessarily, but I don't know who the person is, but I see every message. And I try to reply or acknowledge if there's an acknowledgement required before the end of the business day. So it's 917-597-2197. 917-597-2197. It's not my Google number. I have one number. That's it. You know what I mean? From family, business, friends, and everything.
You might get yourself in trouble for this one.
Listen, I figured if it wasn't trouble till now, it's fine. And I've worked this far. You know, listen, I try to provide the best answer. I'm a big delegator, so I can right away send someone to where they can be helped. So that this way, I could be more of a traffic controller if someone else could help them better. And then when they need me specifically.
They might all want to talk to you after this.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, thank you, Iraf, so much for being on the show. And for those who are listening, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a comment wherever you're listening. That helps us keep making the show better and better. And also make sure to send Iraf your question about commercial mortgages. We'll see you next time on Debt Street. Iraf, thank you. This was so engaging. Like, oh my gosh, your platform, it's amazing.
Thank you. Who prompted you on the God question?
It's God did. It came God to my head. So
yeah, okay.
I was like, oh, I have to ask this question.
Thank you for listening into this episode of the Debt Street Podcast, brought to you by Derivative Logic Incorporated. Derivative Logic helps you get straight to smart about interest rates and how best to manage your risks. Please like and share the link to this episode with your friends and coworkers. And subscribe to be notified of upcoming episodes. If you need to stay informed about interest rates, please go to www.derivativelogic.com and subscribe to the weekly Straight to Smart newsletter. Each edition looks at news and events of the past week, looks forward to important data soon being released, and briskly summarizes what it all means for you and your business. We look forward to welcoming you to the next episode of the Debt Street Podcast.